Morning. I'm Lucy Sharma, Investor Relations of Electrical Components, and I'm joined by Lindsley Ruth, our CEO, and David Egan, our CFO. Thank you for joining this call. We have announced this morning two acquisitions, Synovos and Needlers, and a proposed placing of £180 million of our ordinary shares, about 5% of our share capital. We have released an announcement and a short set of presentation slides this morning, which are on our website. Lindsley and David are going to use the presentation as a base to give you an overview of what we have announced, and then we'll open up for Q&As. Thank you. Lindsley, over to you.
Thank you very much, Lucy, and a happy very early morning to all of you. I am joining today from the United States. David's joining us from the United Kingdom. And firstly, most importantly, I hope everyone is keeping well and healthy. Health and safety remain the number one priority for us as a company, internally as well as externally. So today, we are accelerating our growth strategy, given our strong foundations. This is, I think if we look at the pandemic, you know, we have seen an opportunity for customers and suppliers to be fast-tracked towards our proposition. And overall, I think that the business has performed quite well during the pandemic as we were well prepared heading into it. And I think we'll emerge stronger as we come out of it. We've certainly taken share and outperformed the market. The momentum has continued into the second half of this fiscal year, despite the uncertain backdrop that we see. So we're streamlining the group, as we talked about during the interim, to become leaner, more agile, and accelerating our growth strategy through our RISE initiative, which is overlaid on our Destination 2025 target or five-year plan of a mid-teens operating margin. So the two really go in conjunction with one another to help us move from a position of strength to a further position of strength. So we see the opportunity today really twofold. Number one is to go faster. We know we need to differentiate and stay ahead of our competition, and we need to do so at a much faster pace. So we need to have a sense of urgency in our business. And we also need to take advantage of increasing organic and inorganic opportunities. And the one thing that's come out of the pandemic is that, you know, and this tends to happen in supply-demand imbalances, is that we see an opportunity where supply chain continuity is, again, a priority within the supply chain, an opportunity where our reliability and our service gives us a competitive advantage. So this is what we said our interims outline on slide four. We're focusing on our organic and inorganic investment in three priority areas, which are based on building the strengths of the group. And they are in order of priority. Number one, value-added solutions. Two, product adjacencies and expansion. Three, geographic strength. And today, as we announce these two acquisitions, Synovos and Needlers, these tick these boxes and are right in our strategic sweet spot. So these are digestible bolt-ons that we've looked at for quite some time. We know the business as well. We've been speaking to their management teams for a while, and we know we can drive revenue-generating opportunities as well as synergies as these businesses leverage our differentiated group model. So these two acquisitions absolutely accelerate our ambition of becoming first choice for our stakeholders, our customers, our suppliers, our investors, society as part of our ESG strategy, and our employees. So firstly, Synovos, which we detail on pages 6 to 8 of our presentation deck. Synovos is a very good, outstanding integrated supply business that's based in Pennsylvania, the United States. It's very similar to AESA, who we acquired 2 years ago. It's gone from strength to strength, winning new contracts during the lockdown, as well as expanding internationally. So Synovos manages customers' indirect procurement, inventory, and store management with a surety of supply and availability while reducing cost, which is a mirror image of what we do with AESA, again, the business we acquired in 2018. Synovos has over 80 blue-chip clients, predominantly, and that's over $500 million pass-through revenues, but predominantly in the more resilient industry verticals of pharmaceuticals, consumer health, chemicals, and food and beverage. It's got a proprietary technology platform similar to AESA's MyMRO, which delivers a cost and differentiation advantage as well. So having the combination of AESA and Synovos together means we can now offer integrated supply solutions to customers on an international basis. So customers in the Americas with Synovos, it gives us an enhanced platform to offer solutions in Europe and vice versa with AESA in the Americas, and then together, longer term, we'll target Asia-Pacific. So definitely the combination gives us a solution that our AESA customers have been asking for in the Americas for the last few years, actually. So Synovos will strengthen our business in the Americas in three key ways. One, it allows us to introduce Synovos to our allied electronics and automation customers in the Americas, so customers where we have deep relationships but have yet to have an integrated supply solution ourselves. It allows us to bring that to the customer. Two, it allows us to be able to expand our product offer within Allied by evaluating suppliers within the Synovos business model to understand if they're the right fit for us on the distribution side of the business. And three, it gives us the opportunity to offer our private label range, RF Pro, to Synovos' customers. So similar to what we do with AESA, it gives us the opportunity to add a value brand into the equation. So AESA and Synovos are definitely a significant acceleration in expanding our value-added solutions offer internationally, which, as we refer to it and have in the past, are digital moat or e-commerce moat, if you will, in regards to value-added solutions, technical services, supplier relationships, and traceability. And while Synovos will strengthen our business in the Americas as well, and provide revenue generation opportunities and some moderate cost synergies, by the way. So moving on to Needlers, which we cover in slide 9. Needlers is a fantastic business in the UK that adds high-quality products and solutions in the critical area of safety, hygiene, and personal protection equipment, an area in business which we've been tracking for a long time. So I think it's really important to note that we've been tracking this business before COVID-19 and the pandemic, and the COVID-19 certainly has brought an enhanced opportunity for PPE as a critical product category, which I believe will last as we moving forward. So I don't think this is something that's a one-time deal because of the pandemic. Certainly, I think it's a highly attractive growth market, and we believe that prior to the pandemic and believe it post. And it's a very fragmented market as well. So Needlers provides the expertise and a trusted brand name in this segment. And just to please note that we do have a small percentage of our business in this segment today, but this helps us to enhance it with a level of expertise that we don't have. And also there's a focus on the food and beverage sector that gives us a stronger sourcing capability with private label brands, which account for 40% of their sales. So it's not just about the product offer. Needlers has actually a growing solutions offer as well with technical expertise and consultancy where they advise customers on how to address increasing safety and hygiene requirements and provide appropriate training, which, again, I think is going to continue post the pandemic. Needlers and Electro Components capabilities are highly complementary, and we see significant revenue potential possibilities in terms of synergies from utilizing our distribution networks around the world to over a million customers that we both have in the UK and internationally. And all of our customers, for what it's worth, use personal protection equipment. Every B2B customer that we deal with has some sort of safety spend within their portfolio. So our digital capabilities and experiences in developing private label brands globally will also present significant revenue synergies and value creation opportunities. So at this point, I'll ask David to comment on the returns and equity placement.
Thank you, Lindsley. As Lindsley said, we are announcing the acquisition of two high-quality businesses today, both with strong prospects and both aligned to our growth strategy. We are confident that both acquisitions will deliver attractive returns, and further details of these are included on slide 10. Looking at Synovos, we expect Synovos to make strong contributions to group growth in 2021, including revenue generation opportunities and buying synergies from an expanded US offer. Our return on investment is expected to be comfortably ahead of our group cost of capital by year three. For Needlers, we have adjusted the financial results to strip out the benefit from COVID this year and to give underlying sales and profitability. We see good cross-selling opportunities between Needlers and Electrocomponents. Expected return on investment to be comfortably ahead of the cost of capital in year one. Both acquisitions are expected to generate operating margins in line with our group average in the first year and to be earnings accretive in the first full year of ownership. On the equity placing, which is on slide 11, we are looking to raise up to £180 million, which is approximately 5% of our issued share capital. And we're planning to do this via an accelerated book build and a retail offer through primary bid. The placing will allow us to do three things. Firstly, to fund the full £150 million cash consideration for Synovos and Needlers. Second, to ensure we are not constrained in our organic growth strategy, such as funding working capital growth opportunities. And thirdly, to allow us to deliver on our disciplined acquisition strategy in a disciplined but agile and front-footed manner. We have a strong pipeline of digestible bolt-on opportunities, and there is a very active market associated with those opportunities. On leverage, we expect pro forma net debt to EBITDA to stay below the 1x of March 2021. We're confident that this is the right level of leverage for our business. It permits us to act on growth opportunities organically and inorganically whilst continuing to manage our business during these uncertain times and the environments in which we operate. Organically, we continue to see great opportunity and want to be able to continue to invest in our growth strategy unconstrained, with working capital investments to fund opportunities and some modest capital investments. And regarding inorganic opportunities, slide 12 outlines our disciplined M&A prioritization plan. We're highly focused on opportunities within our sweet spot and our areas of expertise. We have a pipeline of suitable opportunities, nearly 4x as many as we had 2 years ago, which meet our clear acquisition criteria of generating economic profit plus being a strong strategic and cultural fit. Whilst we remain rigorous in our acquisition strategy and continue to walk away from those that don't meet our criteria, we are seeing increasing numbers of those that do, and we want to have the financial strength to continue adding bolt-on opportunities where we can generate value. And with that, I want to hand you back to Lindsley.
Thank you very much, David. So just to conclude, you know, we spent the last 5 years working quite hard on building the basics in this business and getting the building blocks right and in place to be able to do acquisitions and to fix the house before we put additions onto it. So our momentum has continued to build in the second half with market share gains, driven in particular by our private label, our RS-PRO value-added solutions, and our omni-channel service proposition, which is really important to be able to offer customers what they want while adding value the way customers want to place orders, whether it's via the web or e-commerce or over the phone or via fax, whatever. You know, we do it the way customers want. And our strong product availability and breadth. But let's be clear, this doesn't just happen on its own. And We do remain cautious given the economic backdrop, and there are some COVID-related costs that are taking time to drop away. But as I said, it doesn't happen on its own. The business is in great shape because we're not sitting here waiting for the market to get better or the economy to get better. we're seizing the opportunity in crisis to accelerate our growth. And I think it starts with our leadership. And I couldn't be more proud of the leadership team we have today, the investments we've made in developing our leaders. And I think we've got great momentum internally with our morale and our engagement. And I just want to be very clear, in terms of growth, our first priority will always be organic growth. And it has been and will remain organic growth. But we've got a high-quality pipeline of acquisition opportunities that will add significant value to the business and enhance our ability to drive organic growth now and into the future. So last statement, we're confident that we will take electro components to the next level, but it's one step at a time, not a giant leap, and we're very excited about the opportunities ahead. And it's early in the morning here, but I certainly hope you are too. So with that, operator, if we can open it to questions.
Of course. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two. And when preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. Our first question comes from Rory McKenzie of UBS. Rory, the line is yours.
Morning all, it's Rory here. Thanks for taking the questions. Firstly, on Synovos, you've highlighted revenue synergies and the growth potential. Can you expand a bit more on some examples? And also, can you talk about your experience from IESA? You're now over 2 years into owning that business, so can you disclose what that has delivered in terms of growth and cross-sell and whether that's where that is versus your maybe budget at the time? And then secondly, again on Synovos, I remember IESA was a 25 to 30% operating margin business when you acquired it, ignoring the pass-through revenues. So what's the difference with Synovos being a mid-teens EBITDA margin? Do you expect this business to be strongly margin accretive to your group over time? Those two first, please.
Good morning, Rory. Let me take the first part. Dave will take the second part. In regards to your first question, I would say that there's not a significant overlap between the two in terms of customers. There is some overlap. So we have identified the overlap in those customers. One of the first things we started working on almost 2 months ago was a go-to-market strategy without discussing specific customers. But how would we go to market together between the two leaders of the businesses in the Americas and Europe where we could cross-sell? So there's a significant opportunity between the companies to follow customers in the Americas to Europe. I will say, though, however, Synovos has had a presence in Europe. So they do have people in Europe today, albeit small, whereas IESA does not have a presence, strong presence in the Americas. But both sides will leverage the supply chain and their proprietary platforms to accelerate the revenue opportunities between both companies. We have seen a shortening of that development cycle through the pandemic. What might normally take 18 months from presentation to close and implementation of the beta site in many cases is down to 6 months because of discontinuity of supply within the supply chain. Smaller companies that weren't able to support customers in this virtual world that we now exist in. So that's one. Two, based on our experience with IESA, we have found a good lead generation arm with the RS side of the business. In Europe, we tend to focus a bit more on small to medium enterprises versus the Americas, where we have a greater presence with larger customers and the volume and production environment. So I would expect that Allied would have electronics and automation in the Americas would have more opportunities as a funnel and lead generator to provide into the Synovos model. And three, we have launched what's called RS Plus in Europe. It's in more of a beta mode, but it's an IESA light version to be able to go to more medium to smaller customers that wouldn't necessarily require a stores management solution, but RS can provide a solution in conjunction with IESA. We'll do something very similar in the Americas with Allied in the future. So great synergies in terms of revenue, opportunity to expand our private label offering via Synovos as well into Synovos' targeted customers. We're excited about the opportunities, and I'll be there first thing tomorrow morning at their headquarters in Radnor, Pennsylvania. On the second part, I'll leave that to
Sure. Morning, Rory. So IESA currently, their charging model is more of a management fee and also then a supplier charge. With Synovos, they have a couple of additional charging mechanisms. And so as a consequence, there's a little bit more sort of gross revenue reported. The margins on the same like-for-like management fee are very, very similar. So it's more just the way we account for it. As we look forward, we certainly expect the operating margin to be moving further to the right-hand side for Synovos. I think bear in mind, similar to IESA, there are benefits that are not necessarily going to be reported through the IESA / Synovos numbers, but they will sit within the core business, whether that be RS Pro as a synergy, whether that be a product going through the allied channels. So synergy benefits being reported in other parts of the group, not necessarily attributable to the acquisition.
Okay, thank you. Just one follow-up. Could you at all comment on how IESA has grown over the past 2 years?
IESA has seen in the last 6 to 12 months, an acceleration of their funnel. They've grown as we expected them to do. They've done well. We haven't put the numbers out and quantified in the market because we rolled that into our European numbers, and we've intentionally done that. But the funnel and the new contract wins are at an all-time high. So I can say that, and it's very similar with Synovos in terms of their funnel as well and our funnel now. We're really excited about the opportunity between the organizations. You know, combined, it's more than $1 billion in pass-through revenue. That's a pretty sizable venture when you get into a global integrated supply organization, and it gives us scale to be able to accelerate that growth on a global basis. And especially, you know, that one important, probably the most important testimonial in this space is customers talking to customers. And we've got, on both sides, phenomenal blue-chip clients from pharmaceuticals to food and beverage to industrials. And I think it's really exciting when they talk to each other, they share information, because this is really not for a customer, it's something that you just can't shut lines down. So they're not threatened by talking to competitors in many cases and giving testimonials, and it really helps us in that case. So the stickiness factor in this costs are pretty significant, Rory, so once you're in, you're in, and you just have to continue to provide reliable, great service and cost of ownership solution.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'd add to that, Rory, just two quick things. One is, IESA's got a good broad range of customers, as does Sanofi. You know, so through COVID, over the last 12 months or so, they've had a few, say, customers that have been down. They've seen some customers have just continued on, but they also seen strength of existing customers. The other one is pipeline's very strong, conversion's good. So just one example is IESA just won a European-based pharmaceutical company, Sanofi. And, you know, once that's ramped up, that's a 50 million euro, contract. So, again, the size of the opportunities are there, the pipeline's there, and we see no reason why that will not be replicated in Synovos.
Great, thank you. One final one, just on the leverage target. You mentioned targeting net debt to EBITDA below 1x. Is that a new kind of formal midterm ambition you want to stay below, or is that just literally in the short term while you've got all these opportunities? Thank you.
Sure. I wouldn't say it's a target per se. What we've said is that, you know, the leverage for us will stay below the 1x. We've been below the 1x for a little while now. Having leverage down, below the 1 sort of gives us absolute flexibility to continue to invest in the business organically as we see that top line grow, whilst still maintaining strong disciplines around working capital. But equally, it just gives us that flexibility for the inorganic, where we can complement that and accelerate the organic growth. So, you know, for us, it's at a point in time. It's based on the opportunities as we see them going forward. We're not going to do anything silly with the balance sheet. We want to have a strong balance sheet, but equally want to be agile and flexible such that we can take advantage of the opportunities as they arise.
Okay, great. That's it for me. Thank you.
Our next question comes from David Brockton of Numis. David, please go ahead. David, the line is yours.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, your line is open.
Oh, great. Good morning. Two questions, please. Firstly, in relation to Needlers, it looks like you haven't sort of priced in the COVID benefit that business would have seen through this pandemic. I just wondered whether you can quantify how much of a benefit the business has seen, because that could clearly continue in the near term. And then the second question, did these transactions feel more about sort of strengthening the business and generating revenue synergies as much as anything else? But I just wondered whether you could touch on or quantify any of the cost savings that you could expect to achieve. Thanks.
Yeah, so let me touch on the first one, David, and good morning, by the way. Our strategy is very much about enhancing our capabilities inorganically to accelerate organic growth. So the number one priority within the business is accelerating profitable organic growth. These two acquisitions give us the capability to do that, to move faster and to take advantage of organic opportunities via inorganic acquisition. There are moderate cost synergies that we haven't disclosed at this point. We obviously want to get through the acquisitions and then work with both Needlers as well as Synovos to work through those synergies over time. But the primary focus, these are both two good businesses. If you remember, these are not distressed businesses. These are two good businesses that we want to enhance and we want to take to the next level and make great businesses. On the first part of your question, I'll put that to David for the COVID benefits. You're on mute, David.
I'm sorry. So for the COVID benefits, we went through customer by customer, and we removed all of those benefits, both in terms of revenue and profit. Those benefits, or some of those benefits, may continue into the future. We look at that as pure upside going forward. They did, there certainly was one-off or enhanced purchases, but we stripped it all out. But as I said, if it continues, then that's upside for us.
Are you able to say whether it sort of mirrors what we've seen with I guess, some of the other listed distributors in terms of their benefit, where they're seeing sort of PPE up sort of 30% year on year?
Yeah, pretty close.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Kean Marden of Jefferies. Kean, please go ahead.
Morning all. I've got a few questions, first of all, on Needlers as well. So how do you intend to operate the business? Because I think your spare capacity in the UK isn't as substantial as you may have, certainly out in the States at the moment. So are you going to drop the stock into your front end and back end, or is this going to run on a slightly more standalone basis? And then a quick question on the Needlers financials. So I think you're sort of undisturbed, your pre-COVID revenue guidance is about 40 million, I think, for the December 20 year. And I think you've talked about an EBIT margin in year one close to the group average, so sort of like 10-11%. If I look at the company's house filings, then Needlers had about 31 million of revenue in the December 19 year. So it looks like even on a pre-COVID basis, the revenue seems to have stepped up by about a third, which looks quite substantial. And the EBIT margin, excuse me, for the last couple of years has been more like 4-5%. So if you can help us bridge from that sort of level, which I appreciate has got different accounting policies, to sort of the low teens number that you're talking about. And then I've got one follow-up, but I'll stop there rather than giving you a big list.
Good morning, Keane. Let me start with your first question. Our plan is this will report into our European press, not into the UK. We obviously, in the safety business, certain standards, this Needlers is GRC registered, British Retail Consortium. They have to the food industry standard. So for food and beverage, they've got a focus in that area. There are various nuances across countries in terms of safety requirements and regulations that impact the products. We do have some suppliers in common. So number one, we see this again as a revenue and margin synergy opportunity first. There could be moderate cost synergies that will work over time, but our real focus is taking advantage of the product portfolio that technical expertise and value-added consultancy they have, which is key in leading in this category. You've got to go out with a solution first, and customers are looking for safety and quality over cost, and then bring the products in second. So that gives us a huge advantage. We obviously want to take this across Europe as well as international, given 40% of their business is private label. So we've looked at in the Americas and Asia Pac which products we think we can sell and move. So we'll do our best to quickly move the products into the overall electrocomponent system from a data standpoint and then begin to sell that business. So that's priority one. But let's not forget the private label and value-added solutions consultancy arm that they have will add significant value to our overall strategy and enhance our capabilities. So there will be some moderate cost synergies over time, but and I would say that we do have quite a bit of bandwidth still in the UK. We've really been building out our strengths in terms of capabilities and people, and the biggest enabler for us moving forward is people and culture. Over the last 6 to 9 months in a virtual world at developing the leadership within this corporation. And I couldn't be more confident than I am today in the 5.5, almost 6 years I've been here. On your second question, I'll flip that to David.
Yep, sure, Kian. Yes, they've seen a step up in revenue. We were looking at this business pre-COVID, so we were looking at it last year. And they secured new customers during the course of last year, which have annualized during 2020. So this is a step up in revenue for that annualization, and it's all come from their pipeline. And as I say, as they look forward from where we are today into the future pipeline, it also looks very strong. In terms of the EBIT margin, it was a family-owned business, and there were quite some substantial family costs sitting in the numbers.
Yeah, understood.
Kian, before you move forward, let me just add for everyone on the call that both leaders of Synovus as well as Needlers will be staying with the business. So the managing director that Mr. Needler brought in, Mark Day, will stay with the business, as well as Carlos Tellez. Very impressed with both individuals. We've got them for a number of years incentivized, locked in. I hope they're listening. We have great expectations and working together, but Mark Day will play a critical role for us in this category on an international basis, although he will report in to the President of Europe.
Right. And then one follow-up. So obviously you've referenced quite an active M&A pipeline at the moment. I suppose I'm slightly surprised that the acquisition wasn't more sort of businesses in the US today. Needlers is not a surprise strategically, but maybe not in the geographical region that I expected. Should when we look at that pipeline that you have at the moment, is it more skewed towards US opportunities where, you know, obviously with the US distribution center expanding over the summer, you've got considerable spare capacity to utilize?
Yes, I wouldn't say they're skewed to the U.S., Kian, because we're building a funnel of opportunities around the world and a pipeline around the world. However, since obviously I'm sitting in the U.S. at the moment, hopefully we'll be back in London soon, depending on the vaccines, et cetera, but I've been building relationships virtually with CEOs across the Americas that are in our strategic sweet spot that we're looking at right now. And I would say, yes, it's inevitable at some point we'll do more in the Americas because of exactly what you said. We have expanded the warehouse in the Americas. We have the opportunity to significantly expand the product portfolio. I will comment, however, that the broadest range in our group is in the United Kingdom. So we have almost 3x the number of products, the number of categories in the UK as we do in the United States. So we already had a pretty substantial product, a personal protection equipment, safety and hygiene product portfolio in the UK. So that's why it makes sense for us to do this there, because it's easier for us to bring the products in, and we've got close to 180,000 B2B customers in the United Kingdom. So it's a natural fit for what customers already buy. As I said earlier, that every customer has some sort of safety product spend. So we see this as significantly revenue-enhancing for needlers with our UK customer base, but we are building a very healthy pipeline in the United States, to your point, and the Americas overall.
Thank you. Understood. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Kate.
Our next question comes from Henry Carver of Peel Hunt. Henry, please go ahead.
Thanks. Yeah, morning, guys. One from me in terms of, I mean, you talked about you've been tracking needlers since before COVID. For both of them, can you just give a quick idea of how long you have been sort of in conversation with them and also how they came about? Were they up for sale? Did they approach you? Did you approach them? Did you win them in a competitive environment or, how the deals came about? Thanks.
Hi, morning, Henry. So for needlers, we've known them for a number of years. The owner, family owned, decided that his kids didn't want to sort of take it on, so he decided to create an exit strategy. We were engaged with him exclusive for the last couple of years. He appointed Mark Day CEO, and we've engaged with them all along in an exclusive arrangement, and it's a clean deal, so there's no own out, but Mark Day will continue with the business, as will the management team. In terms of Synovos, private equity owned or private equity and investor backed, a well-supported business. We're not sort of, worried about the undercapitalization or anything like that. They're well-supported and a very strong management team. Aisa created the first interaction with them a few years ago. Lindsley then met with the CEO earlier this year. And then we've been building that relationship and rapport. We were their preferred bidder, but it was an auction. But we've been at the front of the queue for a variety of reasons, as a consequence of being able to get it into exclusivity and across the line.
That's great. Thanks, David.
Our next question comes from Daniel Hobden of Credit Suisse.
Morning all, hope everyone's well. Just two left from me if I may, both around Needler. I was wondering if there's anything you could say around customer concentration in that business. And the second question is, being in the UK and being Brexit, which seems to be in the news all the time, I was wondering where do Needler source their products from? And maybe if you could say something around their supply chain, that'd be helpful as well.
Sure. Sorry, I'm struggling going in and out of mute. But in terms of customer concentration, no, not significant, quite broad, although it is a little bit more focused on the food activities, but it is transferable into other segments of the product range that they have. In terms of their supply chain, they do procure from multiple sources around the world. They do procure from Asia, but they also then procure from across Europe. They have strong relationships, they have strong supply chains, and they've been very, very good through COVID. So their whole sort of business continuity has been very, very strong for them.
Cool. Thank you.
Again, for any further questions, that's star followed by one on your telephone keypad. We have no further questions on the phone line, so I'll hand back.